All right, well, we're going to get started, so as folks walk in, they'll walk in, but y'all find your places. We are about to hit this grow hour. I am going to pray before we get started, and let me ask for his help. Father, you know what we need this morning, more than what we think or know that we need this morning. You know, my own head is full of all these things and have immersed myself, and my head literally hurts thinking about some of these things. But you also say so much about who you are, who we are in Christ, what you want your people to be like in your word. We pray that you would help us to be more like that. I'm even thinking about the book of Ephesians and the sermon that'll be preached today. We just pray that we would remember our identity and remember who our King is and remember where you're bringing us all the way home, every tribe, nation, tongue, and people to worship the Lamb. So we just pray for help and clarity, and that you would go with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are starting this honest question grow time. The screen behind me, John's going to work that. I'm not as technologically savvy as others, so I'll be doing this a lot. But the honest question here at 512, critical race theory, is it compatible with gospel-wrought righteousness? Is critical race theory, I'll use CRT, you all have heard that, is it compatible with a gospel-wrought righteousness? So that is our topic for today. I want to give a few introductory thoughts as we move through this topic today. You heard me pray it. My head does, it hurts. It's a big topic. You may not be an expert in it. I'm certainly not an expert in it, but it's out there. You've heard about it. There's a lot of words on papers about this topic within the topic of CRT. And I've been listening to podcasts and reading articles and reading books for the last months to get my head wrapped around it. To be very transparent, before this was given to me, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it. I've spent more time doing that. It's also not lost on me that some of you may have spent way more time on it and interacting on it and thinking about it in good ways. So that's not lost on me. You may walk out of here saying, he didn't really touch that, or he didn't think about this, or I mean, 30 minutes to talk about CRT is not a lot of time. So I do hope we can get to the Q&A. I think that we will. I hope that we have some good comments too and ways to help one another. So that's obviously the topic. The reason, I could say that the reason that I'm standing here this morning is because when I rolled back on, I found out that I was going to lead this topic. The last time I rolled off and came back on, I was given head coverings in 1 Corinthians to preach. So it feels like there's a thread, but no, I'm happy to stand here. And honestly, Jordan has said it. Everybody who has stood here has said it. The one who's teaching benefits so much. And again, I have never done a deep dive, so this was helpful for me to think through it. I'm going to quote this man a lot today. His name is Neil Shenvey. It's not on the screen, but I'm going to read it as far as the reason. When we think about it, culturally, it's everywhere, right? It's I'm not being an alarmist. This isn't fear-mongering. That's not what your pastors are trying to do. At its core, it is a worldview and really kind of like a religion. So I'm not fear-mongering, but it's good for us to know what it is or to try to put our arms around it. But Neil Shenvey, smart guy, and he is an apologist now. He was a chemist. I'm going to talk about him a lot. But he said this about the reason that he was intrigued by it. Quote, several years ago, I began noticing a theological drift, both among public figures and among people I knew personally. And it often began with an interest in social justice. These same people began to display more and more unorthodox beliefs, and I couldn't figure out why. How do you go from saying racism and sexism are sins, which they absolutely are, to saying Jesus is one of many paths to God? I couldn't connect the dots. Until I read this book, and the book is Race, Class, and Gender, he notes that, what I finally realized was that people were not just adopting a few new beliefs about politics, they were adopting a new worldview, which was gradually eroding their Christian worldview. That's why I'm concerned. I see more and more Christians today, especially young Christians, following the same path, and I want to prevent that. So what I'm not saying, what we are not saying, is trade your quiet time in Ephesians for CRT podcasts. That's not what we're saying. But as one of your pastors, what we are saying, what I am saying, is we need at least some handles and awareness in how the Bible speaks about it, our worldview. How does it accord with our worldview? Spoiler alert, it doesn't. I mean, I can answer the question now. We're going to answer it, but the answer is no, it's not compatible. Finally, number three there, the aim, 30 minutes and it's already dwindling. We're going to answer the question, is CRT compatible? Number two, I'm going to give some pastoral applications. I could do that. It could be for the Big C Church, but I want to speak to us. And then three, my hope is, because we can't cover everything, to at least point you to some helpful resources. We'll have a list after this is over. I put together, every talk has those. I don't know if you know that, but every Grow Talk has a list of helpful resources. I'm going to put some of those on. I've already sent those to Ben. The next slide, John, the best overall resource. I'm just going to start there and just do a quick pitch. This book right here, when I started, Augusta brought this home for me from her bookstore. It's a very, very thick book. It's called The Critical Dilemma. It's written by that Neil Shenvey guy and Pat Sawyer, no relation to our pastor. But I recommend this to you. I think it's the best resource on the subject. I'm not suggesting you have to go buy it tomorrow. I know we all can't buy books. But what they've done is like a plugged in or a common sense, all you parents, like we're going to go watch a movie, so let's go to one of these places that I don't even know how they watch all those things, but they tell you what's in it so you don't have to. They've done all of the hard work of interacting with primary sources, which is a huge thing with anything, but especially CRT. So this book, it talks about how we got here. Critical theory starts all the way back at the beginning. It talks about critical race theory. It talks about queer theory. And then it talks about why it's not compatible, all those things. It's just a very, very good resource. So I'm going to lean on this, and it's one of the resources I would highly recommend. I won't read it, but there's a quote there from Andy Nasella, who we've quoted a lot in these Grow sessions. But that, in my opinion, and he has a lot of free resources on his website. I'll link those, and a lot of those make up this book. So you don't really have to go buy it, but this book is well laid out. I think they've done the church a great service in helping us be able to have a conversation about these things. Okay, so answering the question, is CRT compatible with a gospel-wrought righteousness? What we're going to do is we're going to define CRT. What is it? We're going to try. And we're going to talk about Christianity and CRT, which is kind of the meat and potatoes of thinking about, like, what does God say about us? Well, how does a Christian respond to these things? And then the last thing there, my production team told me that C would not be helpful today because of time, and I think he's right. The more I've gone through the slideshow before I got here, we're not going to have time. But it is linked. Kevin DeYoung, many of you know who he is. He did a one-hour podcast interview with this fella before the book came out. It was almost out. This just came out last October. And it's basically the things that we're touching on today. And I highly recommend that interview. It will be in the notes. We are not going to play it today. It would have been at regular speed, which, you know, would have been helpful. So let's think about critical race theory. And I'll just go ahead and say about critical race theory, it is hard to define. It does have a definition. If you typed it in your little gadget, there'd be 100 definitions. It's like bamboo. It's like when you see bamboo in Midtown, it's like there's one stalk there, and then like 3 years later you come back and the whole yard is taken over. CRT is really, really hard to define, and I think that's part of the play. So it does have many tenets that people will talk about. You can pull from all these definitions. It does have values and ideas, which is mainly the thing that is best to interact with. But we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what critical race theory is. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody listened to this audio, if it was on the web, that we got an email that says that wasn't critical race theory. That's not what it is. He didn't define it correctly. So you can see it is hard to define, but we are going to work through some of the tenets and some of the values. A couple quotes. I'm going to lean heavily on quotes from other people who are way smarter than me, people that have helped me, so no apologies for reading these. What is critical race theory? On the board, there are two from our good brother, Neil Shenvey. Quote, CRT began in the 1980s and the 1990s as a legal discipline that analyzed the presence and persistence of racism within American law, but has since expanded into fields like education, sociology, healthcare, and theology. That's kind of the bamboo thing I'm talking about. It started as a legal theory. We can't talk about that very much today, but as many know, it has run itself into all these different places. Scholars routinely name 15 to 20 tenets of CRT. So even though it's hard to define, most scholars believe there are 15 to 20 tenets that define it. Another quote from both of them. Concisely put, critical race theory is an area of knowledge created to challenge and interrogate the ways in which race, racism, racial power, and white supremacy are constructed and manifested, especially in legal culture and more broadly in society. So next slide. I'm not going to read all these, but this is a sampling of the 15 to 20 tenets that most scholars believe define critical race theory. Again, we don't have time to even go into social theory, but this is an offshoot. If you've ever heard just critical theory or critical social theory, again, my head hurts. You listen to this stuff. But critical theory is way back here. Well, CRT is an offshoot of critical theory. We don't have time, but it's kind of an umbrella term where CRT, queer theory, and all those things fell into. As I said, most scholars agree that CRT is undefinable. So here's just a couple of the primary tenets. I'm going to just read a couple. This is from them, so primary source kind of stuff. It's not me making anything up. This is what these critical race theorists are saying. CRT contends that racism is much more than individual attitudes and actions. It is systemic to societal institutions, sectors, and systems, and is best understood as white supremacy, broadly redefined, and is not narrow definition tied to white power and white nationalist hate groups. CRT recognizes interest convergence as a social reality, namely that black interests will be served only to the extent that they serve white interests. I'm not talking about this church. I'm saying CRT, this is some of their tenets. And the last one I'll read is CRT puts forth the notion of interlocking systems of oppression, which contends that various social categories, such as black, female, gay, differentiable, marked by oppression, are independent and serve to reinforce, complement, and even complicate one another and cannot be individually effectively liberated without liberating all. Okay, so it's you can't just liberate one people group in that sense. It's not just race, it's sexism. Now we're talking about homosexuality. That's where queer theory comes in. It's a lot. We haven't even gotten to the good stuff. So this book, I'll read a little bit of this quote. This is one of the biggest books on the subject from their side. It was written by Richard Delgado and Gene Stefanich. This is kind of their Bible. There's been a lot more words that have been spilled over this. So this is primary source. I'm going to read this, and then I'm done reading all the stuff that's hard to compute, and we're going to talk about Christianity. Quote, this is from the primary source. The critical race theory, CRT movement, is a collection of activists and scholars interested in studying and transforming the relationship among race, racism, and power. The movement considers many of the same issues that conventional civil rights and ethnic studies discourses take up, but places them in a broader perspective that includes economics, history, setting, group, and self-interest, and emotions, and the unconscious. Unlike traditional civil rights, which embraces incrementalism and step-by-step progress, critical race theory questions the very foundations of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and neutral principles of constitutional law. So that's coming straight from the CRT camp. Next slide, John. So these are the four central ideas. So CRT, it's hard to get our hands around. It's real slippery. And then they say, okay, here's about 15 to 20 tenets. You can pull that from all of the definitions. And then we get a little bit into the ideas, which most CRT people will agree. There's about four ideas four central ideas to CRT. I'm going to read these, not going to interact with them, but this is kind of what we will interact with as we think about Christianity. This is straight from them. What is CRT? There's four central ideas. Number one, it comes up in almost every literature that I've read. Racism is endemic, normal, permanent, and pervasive. It's everywhere. Number two, racism is concealed beneath ideas like colorblindness, meritocracy, individualism, neutrality, and objectivity. Number three, this is a big one on the CRT side, lived experience is critical to understanding racism. So because they've lived an experience, or a people group has lived an experience, they have a revelation into a truth that other people who have not been oppressed have. Number four, racism is one of the many interlocking systems of oppression, including sexism, classism, and heterosexism. So we talked about that. It's not just a racism discussion anymore. They're lumping everything up. They want all of the systems destroyed. Okay, so as we move into Christianity and CRT, and I got to be quick, I'm going to read this quote from Kevin DeYoung. So we're kind of transitioning into Kevin DeYoung. I think he's another good brother. Many of you read him on other things. Again, all these are just men, right? So they're just men. But I think they're good, godly men, and they're being faithful, and they can help us. So I'll read this. I know it's hard to read. He says this. This was in an article that I've linked to as he's thinking about CRT. He's a pastor. He's thinking about it for his people. I'll be blunt. I am no fan of critical race theory. Judging by this introductory volume, and it was the book that we flashed earlier, not this one, I disagree with CRT's aggressive color consciousness, and he notes pages. Its jaundiced view of American history, its rejection of legal neutrality, its emphasis on economic redistribution and equality of results, its interpretive principle that divides the world into rigid categories of oppressors and the oppressed, and its insistence that racism is pervasive and at the center of everything. Bold. If that's CRT, I see little to be gained by using it as a hermeneutical lens, let alone as an all-encompassing worldview. And yet, I will be the first to confess I am no expert in CRT. While I think every point in the paragraph above comes directly from the book in question, and consequently from two leading proponents of CRT, I'm more interested in debating those ideas. Think about those four things that those four values, than I am in debating critical race theory per se. To be sure, there are some experts among us who have deeply studied the major CRT texts. I'm happy for these Christian thinkers to discuss CRT at length, but for the vast majority of us, myself included, CRT is something we've heard a lot about and have studied very little. Consequently, one person hears critical race theory and thinks Marxist, left, postmodern, anti-Christian ideology. Another person hears critical race theory and thinks helpful tool for demonstrating that racism is more central to our history and has more explanatory power for our present situation than we thought. So that's Kevin DeYoung in his article, "We Must Find a Better Way to Talk About Race." Okay, so this slide's going to stay up for a while, and this is where we're going to talk a little bit about, I get it, that's quick. That didn't even touch the surface of what CRT is, and I've even languished over wanting to represent that side well. But those are the tenets, those are the values, and we're going to talk about what God says about us in-house. And these are the handles. It's not exhaustive, but we're going to talk about our identity. I'm talking about in this room, our righteousness, our reconciliation, and our God. So first, we want to talk about our identity. And I will say that I think it is a wonderful grace that we are a common grace, a grace for us, that we're walking through the book of Ephesians right now. I mean, you want to think about all of these things. I would say don't go read 100 books on CRT, even though I think we should have handles. Go spend the rest of your life meditating on the book of Ephesians. All of this stuff behind me, all of these topics, titles, however we want to like categorize truth, it's all in that book. It's all in the Bible, but it's all in that book. Okay, so let's think about our identity. Okay, we have CRT over here. Did the best I could. Let's think about our identity from this book. And I may get some of you to help me. The Bible is clear that as Christians, we are in the family of God. The Bible's clear. We are siblings. The church is made up of this church, Indians, Ukrainians, Africans, think in Ethiopia, African Americans. I'm not trying to leave anybody out. There's probably more, but I'm saying this church is made up of those ethnicities, to use that word. And the Bible says that that tapestry, that we are brothers and sisters because of something, because of our identity in Christ, this gospel-wrought identity. So, you've heard it from the pulpit before, Sister Asha, who's Indian, I want my third sibling, sister, who's not in Christ to know Jesus. I want her to know Jesus. I love my sister. This isn't Jamie, the one that lives in Indiana. This is somebody else. I have more in common. I have more in common with Asha as a sister than I do with my sister who lives in Colorado because of Christ. Same thing with Nate Cleaves. He don't look anything like me. I have more in common with Nate than I do with my brother who's lost in Indiana because of the gospel. We are in family. Ephesians 1:1, to the saints, there's an identity, who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Go to Ephesians, count how many times Paul says in. Go to Romans, count how many times he says in, identity. You belong to this group. Now look, we're not saying colorblindness. Asha is an Indian. Tommy Evans, African American. He looks different than me. In Christ, he is my brother. My brother. The Bible is littered with things like this when we think about our identity. Galatians 3. For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Gospel-wrought identity. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Go meditate on that passage. Why? Because of the gospel. We don't stand before God as oppressor Christians and oppressed Christians. I know people say, you're simplifying that. Well, it's true. We stand before God as his children and as siblings because of the gospel. Well, this also goes against CRT's tenet that an oppressed group has special access to truth, right? It's not the oppressed Christian and the oppressor Christian. Or one has more access because of their lived experience. We have access because of our identity in Christ. Our identity. I got to move quick. Our righteousness. So we talked about our identity. There's a million other ways to say it, but the Bible is replete. Our identity is in Christ. We're siblings. He's our father. We'll probably hear about it again today in some way in the service because it's true. Let's think about our righteousness. How is it that we are made right with God? How then shall we have a favorable meeting with God? By the righteousness of Christ, by the imputed righteousness of Christ, not by partaking in a self-determining, self-defining worldview or having it as our worldview. CRT offers nothing but self-righteousness. Everything we just looked at, self-determination, right? Oppressed group, all of these things. But the Christian has a blood-soaked robe in 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us about imputation. We get Jesus' righteousness, his. We needed an alien righteousness, not one on us or in our ethnic group. We needed an alien righteousness of a perfect one. We get that. And he gets treated like all those filthy rags that we were wearing. We get his righteousness. CRT says that the identities of the oppressed and the oppressor are adversarial. There's no hope. Like, oppressor group, they're just always in conflict. The gospel says that our identity intersect in the righteousness of Christ, imputed into this harmonious just relationship with Jesus. We have an imputed righteousness. So it's not, we're answering the question, and so much more could be said. it's not compatible with gospel-wrought righteousness. This system over here, this worldview over here, is saying something completely different. But as a people, in the church, a family, siblings, our righteousness is imputed to us. And we are brothers and sisters. And that transcends our ethnic group. Those things are important. But it's not primary. Okay, our reconciliation, and I really have to move. But we've been working through Ephesians, right? And we have this wonderful reconciliation. I know we're talking about Jew and Gentile. We're not talking about Tommy and Jim, per se. But we're talking about a lot of diversity. People that didn't like each other, right? And there's a lot of people that look different that don't like each other. And Paul spends all this time in Ephesians saying, because of the gospel, you've been reconciled to God, and you're reconciled to one another. The whole epistle is written, the whole letter is written to a people, a Jew-Gentile church. This is how you're supposed to live. And so we have been reconciled. I had Ephesians 2 down here. I'm not going to read it because of time, but Ephesians tells us that we've been reconciled. I mean, just go spend time reading Ephesians, and it just flies right in the face of CRT, right? We're reconciled to God and to one another through the gospel. Neil Shenvey says this: modern discussions of racial reconciliation will often insist such reconciliation cannot occur without justice, and that justice cannot occur without repentance, which, it is insisted, has not yet taken place. I'm talking about CRT, I'm not talking about in the church. This claim might be true if it were applied to particular sins committed by particular living people, but it is almost always applied to historic sins committed by whites. Again, I'm talking about CRT. We're told that without such corporate white repentance for the sins of historic whites, racial reconciliation is impossible. Yet, we find no hint of this idea in the New Testament, where Paul told Jewish Christians who were actively living under the boot of Roman oppression that they were nonetheless already reconciled to their Gentile brothers in Christ, apart from any demand for corporate Gentile repentance. We're reconciled in Christ. And one day, revelation happens. And we're all there together, one tribe, nation, people, tongue, same ground because of Christ, worshiping the one who reconciled them. Last thing on this point, our God. I'll just say CRT makes God small. As I mentioned earlier, CRT is an offshoot of critical theory. What it tries to do with society is to understand as those in power and those who are oppressed. John Piper helped me here. There's two podcasts. I put them on the resource page. CRT believes that a person's identity is self-chosen, self-constructed, not God-designed, or God-given. So if we come at it from that point, CRT takes God and makes him really, really small, which means God's word is really, really small. It's not sufficient. Their literature becomes sufficient. God tells us what our true identity is. He's our supreme treasure and delight. His word is our food. So CRT has a very wrong view of God. I have a lot of notes here, but we're running out of time. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This book tells us who God is. We need a higher view, like Job. We need a greater view of God. But you know what happens when you have a low view of God? You have a low view of man, a low view of sin, a low view of salvation. So at its heart, CRT has a very low view of God. Okay, well, I'm not going to read this quote from John Piper, and we're not going to listen to Kevin DeYoung talk for 10 minutes because we would not get out of here. So the question, and I've got some pastoral applications that I want to give before we're done, and if we have some time for Q&A or just thoughts. Is CRT compatible with gospel-wrought righteousness? I realize in 30 minutes, talking really fast, trying to grab everything, the answer is no. Like, it's you knew that when the question was asked. So some pastoral applications for us. I just want to say a few things before I close. Maybe this is the most important stuff. Number one, covenant membership. I'm just noting that the older I get, and it's come up in almost every honest question. Like, what do we do? The best thing that we can do is be covenant members of a gospel-preaching, Christ-treasuring, Bible-saturated church for a long time. I realize some people leave, but, like, make that your aim. And I just think about all of this stuff Neil Shenvey wrote a post about how pastors preaching against CRT wasn't standing up and actually preaching a message on this. It was, here's seven doctrines your people need. Go be a part of a gospel preaching, believing church. Listen to part of our, listen, this is just one part of our covenant. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. Think about ethnicities and the conversation, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate sincere concern for one another's joys and sorrows, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the commands of our Savior to secure it without delay. I want to take that more serious. Being a part of a church, we want racial harmony. We want that. We want those conversations. We want to grow here. I'm speaking for all of us. Do you know the place that that happens, though imperfectly? The church. That's the best place for that to happen, not out there. We further engage to watch over one another, parentheses, who look like us. No, that's not what it says. One another. Church, siblings, family of the King. Here's something else I want to say, and I pray that God would give weight to the words. We need to be patient with one another. We need to not slander or silent one another. We want to have conversations about race, right? I mean, that's the safest place to do that. And it's hard, and we've all felt that. But we also need to assume the best about our brothers and sisters. When there's honest digging and thinking and praying, because it's too easy when someone says, I've been reading CRT and I'm wondering if this one point, I'm just trying to figure it out. And we go, there's a cultural Marxist in our group, right? I'm talking about honest thinking through, or someone says something about like racism and all of a sudden you're a social justice war. Like we've got to do it better here. This is the place we should do it better. And so I just want to encourage you as a pastor, but as a member, I need it too. We need to have better discussions about race in the church. And we need to help one another. So I'm just saying, let's move towards one another. Let's assume the best about one another. We're gospel people. I'm talking about people who are honestly analyzing things. Okay, second thing, be diligent to preserve the unity. That's Ephesians 4. I mean, just go read that, meditate on it. That's what we're called to do. And then last, here's what I mean by this. Your pastors don't want you to go spend the rest of your life in CRT stuff, okay? That's not what we're saying. And maybe this is all it is. I think that book's a good resource. I think it's helpful. I'm just saying it's good to educate yourselves. It's everywhere. Rick came up before I started and said the school superintendent somewhere, he knew a good brother. Something happened in his school about CRT. It's a mess, right? I'm not fear-mongering. I'm not setting, there's no alarm. I do think it's serious. And I do think there is a lot of trouble with it. It is anti-gospel. Listen to this passage from Ephesians. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. Then he goes on, right? One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one God. Pursue unity with all humility. And again, maybe this is it for you. So what I don't want you to hear from me is, you better go buy this book and you better just know everything about it. I've told several people this week, I'm enjoying this because I love teaching and thinking about things, but I'm happy to move on tomorrow from a big thick book on CRT and trying to understand it more and more. But so I just want to say, educate yourself. We could say that in every Grow talk. And there's going to be a list of resources that Ben Bailey posts. And again, if you could get to Neil Shenvey's website, it's all free. And he's thought a lot about it. And he's really, really helpful. I don't think we have much time for Q&A. That was not on purpose. You can just see how much stuff is here. And I skipped so much. Maybe one comment or one way to encourage the body? I mean, there may be a gazillion questions, I understand, but is there something you would say as we think about identity and in the family of God and things like, maybe one encouragement, one help, one something as we depart? And I'll pray after that one something. And if there's not, I'll just pray. But thinking mainly in terms of who we are, what God has called us to be, just an encouragement or a thought before we pray. It's okay if there's not as well. Yes, ma'am.
I think one of the differences in Christianity as opposed to a lot of religions is when we talk about identity, being in Christ, united to Christ, that's the most important thing about us, that it doesn't eliminate or ignore our ethnicities, our personalities, our strengths, our lived experiences, but the Lord preserves those and uses those, and there's lots of different passages in Scripture that talk about that.
Thank you. That is a good reminder, and that is what's so hard to communicate so much in times like these. But yes, that's why we need to have those conversations. We need to have them rightly, and we need to have them in our living room. You know, but thank you. That's helpful. Father, we are thankful that our identity is in Christ. We're thankful for the way you made us. You've made us all different from different places, different experiences, different sufferings, different things that have happened to us, different things that we've done. I just think about how different, taking what Catherine said and seeing this wonderful quilt of people, these little patches, blue, green, whatever it looks like, but you've sewed them together in a body, and you've made this beautiful quilt. We don't know what the blue patch is, and then when you put in the quilt, you have this wonderful picture. So thank you for Christ, our identity, our righteousness in him, being reconciled to you and to one another, and for being our God. Thank you for the grace of Jesus and all that you are to us in him. Help us to have these conversations rightly. Protect us from worldviews that aim to hurt us and defame the name of Christ. And help us to walk in unity and to diligently pursue it. For your sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're